Ask any adult who moved to Alaska to start a new life, and you may hear them tell a story about first arriving with 37 cents in their pocket and no job prospects. Or you may hear someone describing squeezing all their belongings into their old car and driving up the Alcan Highway to work on a fishing boat. None of those stories will probably ever top that of Peter McKay, who used a rowboat to get to Alaska. McKay worked as a planner for the Alaska Department, then Division of Community and Regional Affairs for 25 years. Friends and colleagues like Nicole Gruey say his long career and sense of social responsibility were sparked and shaped by a stint in the Peace Corps, serving in the Amazon jungle in Colombia.
That's where I believe he discovered his passion to do rural development and community organizing work and his love for the Spanish language.
Later, McKay worked with Cesar Chavez and Chicano farm workers by helping them set up strawberry co-ops and a bilingual radio station. He also volunteered to help Gambian villagers in West Africa build a clinic and a dam. In the Kuskokwim River village of Aniak, he was not afraid to work in the dirt during an experimental farming project.
And the dream they had in those days was everyone was using an outhouse and a honey bucket. And there was really no running water in Aniak as far as toilets and sewers went.
Scott Herbert was just out of high school when he met McKay, helping the city of Aniak build its own reliable drinking water and wastewater system and get grants for the equipment and local training.
And that was how he thought about it. It was like, can we make an improvement now? Can we make the place better today? And we'll figure out the next bit later.
Gruey says McKay's work for the state included helping with ANCSA land conveyances starting in the 80s, community planning and municipal government assistance, and guiding new cities in their incorporation, management, and planning and zoning. He also helped small communities develop safe drinking water and wastewater infrastructure.
Some real nuts and bolts work that didn't have an easy solution. It's difficult to finance and operate and maintain this infrastructure in a village with high unemployment. And Peter just kept at it because he knew how critical it was that if you don't have safe drinking water and a way to dispose of wastewater safely, you really can't tend to other community viability issues.
According to Gruey, McKay's legacy to new employees was the need to get out of the office, out of the cubicle, and into the village whenever possible, talking with people and developing relationships.
You network profusely and you shake hands and you get to know people and you listen to their stories, even though it can be very time consuming. And certain cultural sensitivities need to be applied. But he was one of the very few people that truly bridged the difference between urban and rural Alaskans, in my opinion.
McKay has been remembered as generous, well-read, a mentor, a strong and silent listener with a good heart and a great grin and a bit of a trickster. His adventurous spirit is probably most widely known. In 1979, McKay and friend Dick Luxon decided to row into Glacier Bay to commemorate the 100th anniversary of John Muir's canoe voyage. They started in Seattle in an 18-foot wooden open dory loaded up with 400 pounds of gear for the trip, estimated at well over 1,000 miles. Why do it? McKay joked to a San Jose Mercury News reporter that they just got tired of rowing to Monterey. It took 3 months, but they made it. It was perhaps the start of countless adventures, either alone or with friends, that McKay made under his own power or with just a little help from nature.
He felt that what you're testing is yourself and your ability to endure.
That included countless hikes, rowing back and forth from McKay's Juneau home to his Gustavus cabin, cycling from Seattle to Portland, cycling and kayaking Erie Canal, sailing the Atlantic from the east coast of the U.S. to Ireland, cycling through France and Spain, and various rowing expeditions along the inside and outside waters of Southeast Alaska. Author Andy Hall went on one of those trips with McKay and another friend.
Got into some really hairy seas. At one point, Peter yelled that there was this whirlpool. And the way these things, his boat was set up, the rower has his back to the bow. Guy in the back is navigating with a tiller. So Peter could see what we were heading toward. Lamont and I kind of craned our necks to see what was going on, and he said, you don't want to see it, just keep rowing. And we rowed for like 5 hours straight to get out of this stuff.
Bud Carpinetti, now a retired judge, embarked on a few of those Washington State cycling trips with McKay.
I mean, he was just the kind of person that just got you to do things you'd never even thought about doing, much less believe that you could do.
Carpinetti's daughter joined McKay on that transatlantic sailing voyage.
An adventurer. You know, he was the kind of person that just saw great things to be done out there, and he wanted to do them.
Hall says McKay was never trying to compile an adventure resume or embark on the various adventures for any fame or notoriety.
I think he did it because he enjoyed it. When you do things like that with somebody, you know, it kind of puts you in a different place with them, I think. And, you know, the conversations are a little more deeper, more real.
Peter McKay passed away June 28th during a hike on Juneau's Flume Trail. He was 63 years old. All those conversations and all those experiences are for the retelling during a memorial for McKay this weekend. It starts at 4 o'clock Sunday at the Juneau Yacht Club.